Hey, you. Yeah, that's right. I'm talking to you. Are you looking for the best way to promote your podcast? It's easy. Just advertise your podcast to your ideal target audience. That's right, listeners of similar podcasts. Podbean has the best and most cost-effective options for you. Just go to the website sponsorship.podbean.com/STR. That's right. Your friends here at Scout Team Radio are hooking you up. Go to sponsorship.podbean.com/STR and you will get the best deals to get your podcast rolling. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy Scout Team Radio.
Yeah.
You want to like them, but you can't.
Are you listening?
What?
Are you listening?
Did you bring me on this show to insult me?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all don't want it with us, man. We straight gangsters over here,
straight gangsters. Good morning and welcome back. You are listening to Scout Team Radio. We bring it to you hot and live each and every weekday. I am one of your gracious hosts. They call me Loudbeard.
You are the most egotistical, self-deluded person I have ever met.
And the man on the other microphone, he is a great patriot, almost as patriotic as Blake Bortles.
America, America.
Yeah, it's your boy Chris America coming to you live this Tuesday, March the 19th, 2019. It is 3/19/19.
Loud. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. That's a cool fact. I like it. That's very really
facts.
Cool.
That's what we bring. We bring cold, hard facts.
You want to know another fact?
What's that?
Bortles. He's back.
He's
Blake
back.
Bortles is officially a Ram. He's the boat. Absolutely. He is a Ram, and I would never wish injury on any NFL player. But if something happened to Jared Goff, just the idea of a quarterback of the caliber of Blake Bortles being in an offense led by Sean McVay and Sean McVay's great play calling. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I'm salivating right now at the possibility. This could be the greatest thing ever. Greatest show on turf.
Especially since both quarterbacks played the Patriots in the last two off seasons, or sorry, postseasons. Bortles scored more touchdowns than Jared Goff did he not?
Oh, he definitely did. Bortles is, I'm just saying, he's the future of the Los Angeles Rams. The future looks very bright for the Rams. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there. Just saying that it's a good thing right now. Los Angeles fans right now needed something with how it has ended with the Lakers this season and how it's gone with LeBron. They needed a bright light in their life, and that bright light today is Bortles.
Bortles mania has come to Los Angeles. And do you think it's causing people to put mustard on their PB&J sandwiches?
I mean, when things like this that happen good in your life happen, you're willing to do anything. And if it requires throwing a little mustard on your PB&J, I would say yes.
Well, now, this is the odd thing that they're doing. They're not putting it on inside the sandwich. They're putting it on top of it. And it's like making its Twitter rounds. Is this something you can get into, Loudbeard? So you make your PBJ, you put the bread together, you got it nice in there, you got your peanut butter, your jelly, slap those two pieces of bread together, and then you throw some mustard on top of that.
Nope, I can't do that. That actually sounds absolutely disgusting.
Mustard.
Well, of course you're not going to because you hate mustard. I actually like mustard, but it has to be in the right context, right? Like, you can't just throw it on a PB&J. That sounds like it's an awful combination. Though people do weird things.
Especially on the internet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The internet. It's like wild, wild west. Just do whatever you want and see if somebody else will watch you doing it or somebody else will like your pick. So you open up the door for craziness and weirdness and oddities and everything.
Yeah. So a lot of people will think this is weird, but since it's Florida Man, it's just normal. Florida Man's been arrested again for throwing pancake mix at a woman.
Yeah, Florida Man's not so good, is he? We're actually Florida Men, but I don't know that I've been on the top of the heap of, as far as these Florida Man stories, because Florida Man, I don't know how we live in a state where there are so many crazies and cuckoos, but throwing pancake mix, what is that doing? Like, what is the point? I don't understand.
Yeah, living in Florida is not for the lighthearted or the weak-minded either. But Florida Man, he was charged with assault and batter.
Oh, God. Was that supposed to just be... that's terrible. Oh, God. I don't even know what to say right now.
Bringing it hot.
What are you?
An idiot sandwich.
That's what I call the mustard sandwich. I was just going back to earlier. The mustard. Yeah. Mustard on a PB&J. That's definitely an idiot sandwich.
So are you ready for the first four to play tonight?
Yeah, I'm ready. Are you ready?
On True TV. You know, that great sports network, True TV.
if it's showing the games, then it's worth it.
Yeah. Prairie View A&M versus Farley Dickinson. Oh, let's play a game. Where do you think Prairie View A&M is? Loud Bear, I'm going to start looking this up.
It's going to be Midwest, Prairies. I'm thinking Midwest, or maybe, I don't know, maybe now I'm thinking about it, it's probably Texas. It's got to be a Texas. Prairie View? A&M?
Trying to look it up. Hold on. Yes, it is in Prairie View, Texas.
Yes. It's got to be Texas. I got this, man. You can't stump the master over here.
Their mascot is...
Tumbleweed.
It's a type of cat. I'll give you that hint.
Let's see. I'm not thinking house cat. I'm thinking it's got to be a wild cat.
Yeah, it's not going to be like the Prairie View A&M calicos.
No.
Or the tabbies.
Siamese. I'm going to go with the bobcats.
Close. No, they took the name after my Carolina Panthers.
Panthers, huh?
Yeah, let's look at this Farley Dickinson. Farley Dickinson University.
That sounds like that is in Massachusetts.
Where do you think? Oh, you think Massachusetts? You're
right.
That does sound like a Massachusetts name. Let's see what you got here. Let's see. Farley Dickinson. No, no, but you're close. It is in the Mideast.
Illinois.
That's not the Mideast. Or sorry, I did say the Mideast. I meant the Northeast.
I was going to say.
But like how you didn't say like Afghanistan or something. You said Illinois as if Illinois is a Middle Eastern state.
It is. It's in the middle of the eastern side of the country. It counts.
No, it's in Hackensack, New Jersey. What a name for a city. Hey, you want to play some Hackensack? Now, can you guess what theirs are? They have an AAC team name.
An AAC team name.
Yeah.
Are they the Knights?
Yes. Good job. And
the Knights is a very universal mascot.
Now, their little logo is like a chess piece knight.
Yeah. Lame.
All right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you know where Temple is, right?
Oh, yeah. Philadelphia, born and raised.
On the playgrounds?
Where I spent most of my days.
And do you know their mascot?
The Owls, my friend. They are the Owls.
All right, last but not least, where is Belmont? Where is Belmont?
Belmont. Isn't it Tennessee?
Ah, good job, buddy.
Yep.
Nashville,
there you go.
Tennessee.
I told you. Yep. I'm the master.
They're in the Ohio Valley Conference. And this team name shares a name with a hockey team.
Coyotes.
Close.
No, I'm joking. Yeah, I have no idea what it is, but I've got to do better than that. I'll go to Hurricanes.
It's a type of bear.
A type of bear. The Grizzlies.
That's not a hockey team.
It's not a hockey team. Yeah, I'm going basketball. Memphis Grizzlies. I don't know. What is it?
They share the name with the Boston Bruins.
Okay.
They are the Belmont Bruins.
You said it's the name of a bear? A Bruin is a bear?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I mean, their logo has a bear.
Yeah, but I don't think a Bruin is a bear, is it?
I thought it was.
You're going to have to look that up.
What is a Bruin? Googling that now.
You should. I don't think it's Bruin. A real thing.
Bruin, noun, a bear, especially in children's fables.
Hmm.
It's Dutch for brown, so it's like a brown bear. Okay.
I'm Irish. I'm not Dutch, okay? So get off of my case.
Yeah. Well, Loudbeard, good exciting news since we're talking about hockey. Our boy, Steven Stamkos, becomes the franchise-leading goal scorer with 384, and he does it on a night where the red-hot, super-flaming-hot Tampa Bay Lightning win the President's Cup. They have to keep this up, though, Loudbeard, because not everybody wins the President's Cup, wins the Stanley Cup, and we didn't come here to just win the President's Cup, but it is the first President's Cup in franchise history, so there was a reason to celebrate last night.
Oh, yeah, they get a big win over the Coyotes, and, you know, getting to the point where they're going to be the number one seed in the NHL playoffs, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and there's still 9 games remaining, so they get a little bit of a chance to rest and go into the playoffs ready to go. So clinching it with 9 games remaining is impressive, but the Lightning this whole season has been absolutely impressive. I don't know what it is about this team, but it just seems like everything is working and everything is going right between Vasilevskiy and then Stamkos and Kucherov. Like, these guys are just absolutely the best there is out there, and I'm excited to see what the Lightning can do. I mean, I feel like this is their season, right? This is a team of destiny. But like you mentioned, teams that win the President's Cup don't often do so well and win it all.
Yeah, I mean, your Washington Capitals, I think, won it 2 or 3 years ago. They scored a ton of points in the season, and just I think they fell short in like the second round, I want to say.
Yeah, but anything happens in the playoffs.
But your boy Ovechkin finally got the proverbial monkey off of his back, winning the Stanley Cup last year. I think it's Stamkos' time.
Yeah, it is. They need this. Tampa, this is your year. Don't let us down. Got to come in hot. Got to do it right. So I'm looking forward to this. I mean, playoff time is right around the corner. Like I said, 9 games left for the Lightning. I mean, we're not that far off. NBA playoffs are coming up. NHL playoffs are coming up. March Madness is at our doorstep. I mean, the whole thing is coming together. Oh, Chris America, things are looking up, my friend.
They really are, and I'm really excited about it. Starting with tonight, watching the Prairie View Panthers versus, I don't remember who they were anymore. Who did we say?
These first
the Knights
four, though.
Versus, the Panthers versus the Knights, the Farley Dickinson. I really feel like Chris Farley should be their mascot.
Do you like these 4 play-in games that they do like ahead of it, where they do like 68 teams instead of just doing 64? Because like, I kind of don't. Like, am I weird for saying that?
Am I going to be an outcast
in the sports world?
I mean, this is basically your 2 bowl games that come on December 18th and 19th.
You're right. You're like, what's this all about? Like, these are play-in games to get into the tournament. Like, when they do their brackets, these teams are slashes, basically. You're like, oh, is it going to be Temple or the Prairie View? Or, you know, like, you're sitting here like, why can't we have already done this? Let's do it even 64. This whole 68, they consider this round one. It's really Thursday and Friday's round one. This is, I don't know. I don't get this. I don't like it.
Yeah, and
it doesn't
you can even still,
right.
Like, I remember last year I forgot to fill out a bracket. I woke up Wednesday morning. I was like, shoot, the tournament started. I should have filled out my bracket. But you could have still filled out a bracket because that's how much these games don't matter.
Yeah, no. Yeah, nobody really cares. And they're going to be 16 seeds, whoever wins these games.
Now,
and they're going up against the likes of Duke and Gonzaga. And we're just not really feeling that they're going to go very far.
But if, say, Prairie View A&M Panthers decide to go on this magical run, we'll look back to like where it started. Like, this was a play-in game. This wasn't even just a regular tournament team. This was a play-in team. And they won the national championship. Probably will never happen, but would be cool to happen.
Oh, yeah, that would be a heck of a story. I can see the ESPN already creating the 30 for 30 for it. Going back to the roots in Prairie View, Texas, where the team came together. a bunch of walk-ons, nobodies that came together for the final magical run to the championship.
So basically, you're doing this?
I am telling you there is a chance. Disney already has the rights to the movie. It's going to be coming out.
It's
already going to be good stuff.
It's going to be called The Panthers on the Prairie.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. I'm going to talk a little basketball with you, but I'm going to talk NBA style because these playing games, like I said, I'm not really getting myself pumped up for these. So a lot of a good slate of games last night. One of the big, I guess, news stories coming out of the NBA last night, Dirk passes Wilt Chamberlain on the all-time scoring list, so he moves to sixth all-time. So this guy, I mean, he doesn't want to stop. He's like Jerry Rice when Jerry Rice was like 48 and still trying to make teams. Dirk just, I think, feels like he's one of those guys that's just going to keep playing forever. So he may get the all-time scoring list one day because I don't think he's ever going to retire. He's not committed to it. Now, actual action on the court last night. I was able to catch this game, the Spurs-Golden State Warriors game. Actually, a ton of fun. Warriors didn't look bad. A little bit of a soft shooting night for them, but the Spurs, 9-game winning streak. Greg Popovich has this team looking absolutely solid heading into the playoffs. The Spurs are trying to maintain that 7th seed in the West so they don't have to go up against Golden State in round one. But the Spurs are going to be a dangerous team heading into the playoffs. And last night just showed it as they got a big win over Golden State. And again, 9-game winning streak. Everybody looks like they're buying into this system. DeRozan's playing great. Just overall, a really great team out in San Antonio. So the West, man, top to bottom, best. Just these teams are just outstanding. The playoffs, I'm excited for.
Well, Loudbeard, remember how we were down and out on your 50 game prediction for the Spurs?
Yes, we were down and out. I'm glad I made this prediction now.
Well, there's 71 games in, so that means we have 11 games to go, and they have 42 wins. So you only need eight. You need eight out of 11. Right now, they're 9-1 in their last 10. Do you think they get their eight?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because now they not only want to stay away from, they want to stay away from the 7 and the 8th seed because the Warriors and Nuggets are tied for first. So we have no idea if the Warriors are going to fall with the 1 seed or the 2 seed. So you, 7 or 8 and 8 are just dangerous right now.
Yeah. I mean, they could, if they keep winning, they could even pop up to the 6, which wouldn't be bad.
They currently have the 5th seed, so they're good, but they're only like 1 game up on that.
Right. Well, the right there in that middle, right? The 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. There's not a lot of
not
gap
a lot of wiggle
in between
room.
There.
I mean,
like,
they could make it
to
the
winning.
3rd seed if they really wanted to, because, I mean, the Rockets have 44 wins.
Yeah, I don't know if I could see them supplanting the Rockets, though. Now you're getting a little ambitious, but if they go win 8 out of their next 11, that would definitely put them in a good spot. And the way they've been playing, it could easily happen. It could very easily happen. And the Warriors lose another game. I mean, it is just regular season, but it's not looking too promising for the Warriors because this is a team that is built to be, what, 5 All-Stars, the best team on the planet, unstoppable, and they just look pedestrian at times. I'm watching the game last night, and there's nothing special about this team. It was nice. I finally got to see Andrew Bogut back on the court. I hadn't watched the Warriors since they had signed him. It brings me back to when they won their like first championship, and Bogut was like a big part of that. And I don't know. The Warriors are fun to watch, but you know, like Steph's draining a half-court shot at the end of the first quarter. He still makes shooting looks so easy. He can shoot from anywhere on the court. But the Spurs basically dominated this whole game. There was one point in the third quarter where the Warriors came back and took a little bit of a lead. And then all of a sudden, the Spurs went on another run. And, I mean, the Warriors looked like they were just the lesser team again last night. Should we still be worried, or are they going to turn the switch on, Chris America?
They'll turn the switch. I'm not worried. Unless they somehow play the Spurs in the first round. I don't think they have anything to worry about playing, you know, who's at the bottom there? The Clippers, the Jazz, maybe the Thunder. The Thunder, if they slide down to seven, that would cause them trouble if they go in as the 2 seed and the Thunder go in as the 7 seed.
Yeah.
Then I'd hit like the prepare for panic button.
And you're just totally discrediting the Jazz. They don't have enough to make any noise, huh?
Mm-mm, not against. I mean, who, like, do you think they have the horses to do it?
I don't know.
Seven games.
This is what I think the problem is that with the Jazz, Rudy Gobert is a much better player than people give him credit for. I mean, this guy defensively, to me, what, top three in the league defensively. And he's just an underrated guy, and I think he makes that team go. If he's healthy and he's playing at a high level, this team has just enough to make some noise. Now, you know, if they end up getting, what, a 7th seed and then go against the Nuggets, I mean, I could see an upset just because I feel like the Nuggets with that inexperience are going to be, I don't know, they're not going to be as good when it comes playoff time. You know, I like Donovan Mitchell. Again, yeah, I mean, when I'm looking at the team up and down, Jay Crowder, I don't know, maybe not. Just there's not quite enough talent there. They're missing one piece. Like, if Gordon Hayward would have stayed and not got injured and that would have been that team, yeah, I probably would be going for him. But you're right. Jazz, nah, not feeling it, I guess, now that I think about it. Rudy Gobert, though, is the one piece that I think could disrupt another team.
Yeah, I mean, the right team, I think he could. You know, the team that doesn't have as many horses as the Warriors or the Rockets or the Thunder. But I don't know. It's all what it is today, right? It's just how many horses do you have to get you to the finish line?
Yeah, it's about that, but it's also about these guys that are clutch. And I think that's where we run into a problem with a team like the Rockets. James Harden, historically, has not been able to be that clutch player when it comes to these game 6, game 7. You need to step up. You need to be the man. And this has been throughout his career. When the Thunder went to the finals, what was that, 2011, and James Harden was like the 6th man on that team with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. I remember him disappearing in that series, and that Thunder was so talented. We're like, this team is going to be a dynasty. They have so much talent. And then when he got traded to the Rockets end up making a couple runs into the postseason. And last year when they have the Warriors up against the ropes, they end up he has such a horrible shooting game, game 6. If he could have just hit a couple three-pointers instead of missing, like, I think the team had missed 20 of them in a row or something crazy stat like that. If he could have been clutch, the Rockets would have been good. So to me, the Rockets need James Harden to be clutch. He's not that clutch guy. I look at who's clutch. Steph Curry, he's a guy that's clutch. He's always going to hit those shots when it matters. The Nuggets, who on that team would be clutch? Now, again, I talk about the inexperience. I talk about a lot of young talent there. I just don't see a guy that's clutch on that team that can take the ball, take the game over when he needs to. It kind of reminds me, last night, the Boston Celtics did a tribute for Isaiah Thomas. It was a beautiful tribute video. They give a great ceremony.
They finally got it in?
Yep, they finally get it in.
Remember when they were supposed to do it when he was on the Cavs?
I do.
And then Paul Pierce is like, oh, this is supposed to be my night.
Yeah, and, well, Paul Pierce was part of the, you know, they do the analyst crew at halftime. And so I forget who it was, the other person on there. They're like, well, I'm glad they were able to get that in. Somebody, my co-host here, didn't stop him. And Paul, they just like scanned over to Paul Pierce, and he just had a look on his face. Like, really? You're bringing this up right now?
So
it's kind of funny.
I think that's one of the things that the NBA analysts, you have to have thick skin to be an NBA analyst, I think, because especially on TNT, because they're going to razz on you, man. You don't get
big
to
time.
Just... It's more than any other, you know, analyst panel that you'll see in other sports. Like, I don't know if NFL players do it as much as NBA players do.
I don't think so. It's a little bit like freer flowing. Like, NBA seems like they're more about having fun when it's like the analyst of it, because
right.
when you look at the TNT group, I mean, Charles Barkley, he's not ever going to hold back. He's going to have no filter no matter what. You know, Shaq's the same way. Now, Shaq's, to me, a little bit more lighthearted. Charles Barkley will go for the jugular. He doesn't care.
Like inviting LeBron James to come join them during the playoffs since he's got nothing else better to do?
I mean, who else can say that to LeBron James? Who else in the world?
You know what? I bet it pisses LeBron off. I bet it does piss LeBron off. And you know what? Charles Barkley doesn't care.
No, no, he doesn't care at all. And good for him, man. Charles Barkley, he wins awards and stuff for being such a great analyst on TNT. I mean, when you think of it, when you're thinking of an award-winning analyst or an award-winning journalist, like, Charles Barkley is just that because he doesn't care and he says whatever he wants. I mean, I don't know. Just, I could go on for hours and gush over how awesome Chuck is.
But instead, we only have 5 minutes until break. So, with that said, our Orlando Magic, I know our fans love hearing us talk about it, are right there with the Heat. Do you think they get it done, Loudbeard?
I don't know. I have zero confidence in this team, unfortunately. Now, two wins in a row, very nice going into this. They actually don't play that much. I think they've got two games in 7 days, so they get a little bit of rest. They're going into these games. It's not going to be too bad for them, and I think it's two home games. I have to double-check the schedule. Yeah, I mean, I'm not confident because, again, I don't think we have a clutch on the Orlando Magic, have that clutch player. We don't have somebody that takes the game over. I mean, at points, you could say, oh, DJ Augustine, but you know, nobody's like, oh, this is a great player. This is the guy that you can trust on. At points, you could say Terrence Ross. Yeah, I mean, Terrence Ross is a good piece, but I don't know that I can say the Orlando Magic are going to take it over and take back this eighth seed and do it. But if they did, I'd be excited because as the Nuggets did last night, the Nuggets clinched a playoff berth first time since 2013, and they were able to celebrate being in the playoffs. I thought to myself when I was watching this, I said, man, if I could say that, wow, the Orlando Magic, first playoff berth since 2000 and what was it, 13?
12.
Was it 12? So the first playoff berth since 2012, we can make the Nuggets look bad because we've been even longer on a playoff drought. And it's actually more impressive just because we have been so terrible, even though the Nuggets are so good. I don't know. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that headline. Orlando Magic break playoff drought since 2012, you know, whatever. I just want to see that headline. I want to see it.
Now, I'm looking at tonight's games, and a game that should have been, at the beginning of the season, looking at this game, you would have been like, wow, this is a pretty good late-season matchup, possibly, and I'm talking about like a long chance, but there were still a lot of people that held out hope of a finals preview. The Bucks play the Lakers. Does LeBron James go off tonight after his embarrassment of being completely shut down by Mario Hezonja?
The answer's no. I mean, what has he got left to play for? I think he's going to go out and just have fun, play like he's at an all-star game, right? Go and not play very hard on defense, take whatever shots he wants to take. I think LeBron's done at this point, and the team doesn't care. They're in tank mode, so they're like, LeBron, you go and just have fun. Be like Kobe when he was retiring. Throw up 60 shots. Nobody cares. Do whatever you want. So it's his playground at this point. He can go out there and play however he wants. He can have a terrible game. He can have a great game. I don't think it matters. It's just LeBron is going to go out, and he's not going to play defense. I can tell you that, though. It's not worth the energy.
Now, we mentioned the games for the play-in round, right? The Prairie View A&Ms and the Farley Dickinsons, the Temples, and the Belmonts, right?
Yep.
Does that lineup beat tonight's lineup of six games? You have 76ers Hornets.
Yeah, I mean, okay. That's okay game.
Which one wins?
You're saying
NCAA tournament or the NBA?
NBA.
Really? Sixers and Hornets? I guess that has some playoff implications, maybe. All right, Warriors Timberwolves.
NBA.
Nets Kings.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm a little biased for this game, Chris America, because I think I'm going to go NBA. I'd rather watch the NBA games. I'm not
really?
Feeling the play-in games.
Man.
Yeah.
All right.
Not feeling the play-in
Rockets,
games.
Rockets, Hawks.
Oh, definitely. I like watching James Harden and Chris Paul and the Rockets. They're fun to watch.
So the importance of the game really has no bearing to you. It's just you like being entertained by the flashy players.
Yeah. No, Thursday and Friday, I'm going to probably watch nonstop college basketball. But I think it's because I don't like this format where they have these four play-in games that I have no interest in them. Does that make sense?
No, it does, but at the same time, I think part of it is you know that no matter who wins this game, it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, just like it doesn't matter who wins between Nets and Kings, but at least you'll see some all-star NBA.
Yeah, and when I think of the Nets and the Kings, I'm wanting to see De'Aaron Fox play.
Right.
Because I haven't seen him a lot. I don't get to catch all the West Coast teams, and the Sacramento Kings out of all the West Coast teams probably get the least amount of play here in the East Coast because you have teams like Golden State and Portland and San Antonio that get more play than Sacramento. So to me, watching De'Aaron Fox would be fun to watch. Marvin Bagley is on that team. There's just some young players that I'd like to watch on the Kings.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Nets. I like D'Angelo Russell. I like what he's becoming as a player. So I'd watch that game. And I probably wouldn't watch it start to finish, but I'd catch pieces of it just to see how that young talent is doing. I'd like to watch that more than watching Prairie View.
Now, I mean, I get it, because if I told you that there was a guy named Jar Jar Tinks on the team of Farley Dickinson, you wouldn't know if you should believe me or not.
I wouldn't, but if there is a guy named by that name, I am going to watch, just for that name.
Misa think it's a break time.
Oh, man, you're out of control, my friend.
Was that a good Jar Jar Binks impression?
It was perfect. Hey, Kawhi, what are you laughing at, man? This isn't funny. Fantasy sports reimagined. FanDuel, that's what I'm talking about. It is more than just fantasy sports. It's the best way to watch the games, win real cash, and bring the action right to your living room. Just choose a contest, make your picks, watch, and win. And if you go to FanDuel.com/STR today, you can get a $5 deposit bonus. Once again, that's FanDuel.com/STR. Come on, man. This is not a laughing matter.
When I'm working hard, I build up a thirst for sports. That's when I grab a cold 12-ounce sports radio. Quench your sports thirst.
If you've been listening to Scout Team Radio for a long time, you know that myself, Loudbeard, has placed a bet or two in his day. That's right, I've lost the beard bet, I lost the romper bet, but one place I don't like losing is when I bet money, and I can easily do that at MyBookie. That's right, you can go to MyBookie.ag, use promo code 12OZSports, and get a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. Hey, guess what? That is a lot of money. Do it.
Hey everybody, it's your favorite patriot, Chris America, and I want you to listen every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and on replays from 11 a.m. to noon of Scout Team Sports. Listen, George Washington did not cross over the ocean blue in 1492 to defeat the Nazis, so you can listen to the same tired national clickbait sports stories. So once again, tune in to us every single morning, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and then we replay from 11 to noon. I will see you there, and God bless America.
As always, we appreciate all of our listeners out there. Thank you for tuning in to us. We come on hot and live at 6 a.m. each and every morning, Monday through Friday on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. We also record each and every show and drop it as a podcast. You can hit that podcast up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or our website, scoutteamradio.com. We also have partnered up with Barnburner. It's a podcast network. They take our show and they drop it on their podcast network. We appreciate them for that. So if you're listening right now from Barnburner, thank you. Thank you and thank you. Also, get social with us, right? We're on Twitter. Hit us up at Scout Team Radio. We will read your tweets on the air. We will talk about your topics. We will talk about your subjects. So make sure you hit us up on Twitter. It is very, very important, I do have to say. So coming back from the break, Chris America, I have a very important question for you.
I have a very important answer. You go first.
All right, let's see. All right, so if I had to tell you that there is a record that it was broken last night, and I'm going to say record, but a man has been lifted up into the Mount Rushmore of triple-doubles, and I'm going to give you some names here, and I'm going to say Russell Westbrook,
okay,
Michael Jordan,
mm-hmm,
Wilt Chamberlain,
mm-hmm,
and Oscar Robertson. Would you say that these are the elite of elite players in the NBA?
I probably would have thrown in I can't think of his name right now. It's Evan Fournier on that list as well.
No. You're going to have to go dig into your bag of tricks and pick out a former Magic legend to throw on that list, because last night
Tracy McGrady,
former Magic legend Elfrid Payton,
joined
the ranks of Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, Russell Westbrook, and Oscar Robertson by recording his fifth consecutive triple-double last night. Is that awesome or what? Our guy, as soon as these players leave the Magic, they become superstars. Our guy, Elfrid Payton.
Happens every time. 60% of the time, it happens every time.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
60% of the time, it works every time.
These guys, Mario Hezonja blocks LeBron James. We've got Victor Oladipo, superstar, all-star. We've got Elfrid Payton, who is now on the Mount Rushmore of triple-doubles. I mean, the Orlando Magic cannot be any worse at developing talent and then sending it off to other teams so that they can get developed to what they actually are, and that's good players.
There's another reason why he's playing so well, though, right?
Because the team is terrible, and
no.
Anthony Davis. Oh, you got another reason. His hair? Did he cut
his hair? Because he cut that ridiculous haircut where it swooped up in front of his eyes. Like, I don't know how he saw the basket beforehand, but he basically, his hairstyle was like he was wearing a hat, and the bill of the hat curled down in front of his face, and that's gone now. So now he can see the basket, he can see the rim, he's able to see the floor like never before, and I'm a poet and I didn't know it.
That was so graceful, beautiful.
It was. It'll make a nun cry.
It will. Before the break, I want to talk just another hair about the NBA, and then we can move on to other things going on in the world, but I mentioned this tribute video for IT. They finally do it in Boston, which is beautiful, right? I cried a little tear, and it was absolutely beautiful. But it was some of the comments that were made after, and I just want to get your hot take off of this. So Isaiah Thomas being interviewed after the game, he said, the interviewer is like, hey, so what would have happened if you would have stayed here in Boston? And Isaiah Thomas says, we would have probably won a championship already. So do you think that this is close to being true? Do you think that Isaiah Thomas, with that electricity that he had with Boston, that they could have won a championship?
No. I mean, we saw it when he went against the Cavs before he got hurt. Like, they just shut him down. He just didn't have... I mean, he's good. He's flashy. He's great in moments, but in a seven-game series, multiple series in a row, I mean, if he disappeared against the Cavs, he would have definitely disappeared against the Warriors.
All right, so an a fan goes up and gets pictures with them after the game. Boston fans were just having a good time with IT yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And the fan says, hey, just wanted to let you know that no fourth quarter has been the same without you. And he says, he looks over at the fan and he said, oh, I'll be back. And then he walked away. So do you think that there is a homecoming in store for Isaiah Thomas? And if he does, do you think it'll be like when Nick Foles returned to the Philadelphia Eagles? Could he be that piece that could bring them back to a championship?
Let me see. What is his contract now? He's 30 years old. He's 30 years old. He's got a one-year contract for $2 million. I mean, if the Boston Celtics can get him for that, why not, right? Why not sign him to that deal?
Right, and part of that deal is because he's still injured. So he came off injury. He didn't even play half the season. So the Nuggets got him at a discounted rate.
Has he been playing like he deserves anything more? At most, 10 million a year?
He's not getting a big contract.
I feel like I'm being over generous with that. 10 million a year.
He'll probably get another 1 year deal. He'll need to prove himself again.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't done anything this year. Again, most of that's because of injury. So he will need to do another 1 year deal.
You talk about a guy who went from people like, should we give him a max deal? To not even close. Hey, here's $2 million.
Yeah, he went from $100 million to $2 million. Just like that, like a blink of an eye.
Yep.
But Boston fans still love him because of what he did for Boston. I mean, the guy was kind of given a bad deal throughout his career because of his height. So he had to prove himself everywhere he went. So he's the type of guy that could come back and make some noise and prove himself again. So I'd look forward to seeing that.
Yeah, I mean, the Cavs paid him $4 million last year. So Now that I see that, I can see him getting a $6 million. Unless they go on some, like, crazy playoff run where he's scoring like 28 points a night, 10 assists, 6 rebounds, that kind of deal where he gets a triple double like every third game and they win the final. Like, that's the only way I can see him just blowing up into a ridiculous contract. Kind of the way that the guy from the Toronto Raptors did. What was his name?
Serge Ibaka?
No. The Toronto Raptors center that we signed for a ridiculous contract.
Bismack Biyombo.
Bismack Biyombo.
Biyombo. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bismack. Okay. Ibaka is the center on the Raptors. I guess power forward. I don't know what he's a big
man. We traded for Ibaka. We didn't sign him. But, yeah, and I know where the confusion was. But, yeah, so, I mean, like how he played his way into a contract he didn't deserve in the playoffs the year prior.
Yep, that happens. That happens a lot. That's what IT would have had. I'm going to switch gears up on you. I think we've talked a lot about the NBA. I guess I had one other score. Toronto beat the Knicks last night, 128-92. Lowry goes out with an injured ankle, but it doesn't believe to be serious. So moving on from the NBA. I want to talk some NFL with you. We need to talk some NFL. We dropped it, the hot news, the Blake Bortles news, right at the outro of the show. Or the intro of the show. Bortles. I'm going to outplay that. It'll be dead after today. I promise I won't ever play it again till tomorrow. And so, we got Bortles going to the Rams. There's some other stuff going on. Now, Eric Berry, who Pro Bowl, safety, guy has a lot of talent, you know, got cut from the Chiefs this season. He is now out visiting teams. He is going to be visiting the Cowboys today. Can I just say that I still hate the Cowboys, and I please, Eric Berry, I just want to just say to you right now, I hope you're listening to me. This is very, very important. I know your buddy Loudbeard over here, he's got a little bit of a hatred for the Cowboys, and I like you so much, Eric Berry. Please, 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 whatever you do, don't sign with the Cowboys. I just wanted to say that. So thank you again for listening, Eric Berry, but please don't sign with the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's just, come on, man. They already have a lot of players that I like already. You know, the Vander Esch. I do like me some Dak Prescott. I know a lot of people, like, are down on him, but he's such a cool and nice guy. He's what the league needs. And it just sucks that they're all on the Cowboys.
And you really like Ezekiel Elliott because you think he's a high character guy.
He is. Good times. He's mm-hmm. so he's if he's not a high character guy, he's a good judgment in character. Like he can he, like especially with the women he dates, he's good at picking smart, non-drama type women.
All right. So another guy that I've mentioned a lot lately, you know, your former Carolina Panther guy, Gettleman. He's doing a lot of good stuff over here for the New York Giants. We'll stick with the NFC East with this. But Gettleman comes out and he makes the comment that the narrative that Manning can't play is a crock. How do you feel about that comment?
I think it is about as good as trading Odell Beckham to the Browns.
Which that he defended. He said the Browns made him an offer he couldn't refuse. Now, I'm pretty sure he could have refused it, right?
Like, yeah, he could have said, no, we're going to stick to our guns. We signed this guy. We didn't sign this guy to trade him. He could have said
yeah, that.
That could have been something he would have said.
He did say that.
Oh, yeah, he did say that. Like,
he did say that. Yeah, he's a liar.
Look, Eli Manning, at his best, is a Super Bowl champion. And even then, it's like, he still needed a good defense to help him out. It wasn't like he lit the world on fire during either of his Super Bowl runs. So you're not going to get that guy at, what is he, like 38 now, 39? I don't know. I got to look it up. But you're not getting that guy. And then, like I said, I mentioned he needed a defense and offensive players. I mean, he had Plaxico Burress his first go around, right? Was Burress playing or was he out at that point? I felt like he was playing. The first one.
I do feel like he was, but it's all a blur. I know David Tyree was definitely a part of that first one. That one I know for sure.
Yeah, so Eli Manning is 38. Yeah, I don't know why they're not drafting a quarterback. If they don't draft a quarterback, Giants fans, I would just leave. Just be on hiatus until Gettleman leaves. And again, well, I get the frustration.
The nice thing about Gettleman is he says one thing and he does something completely different. So him saying that the narrative that Manning can't play is a crock basically means that he's going to draft a quarterback, right?
I mean, that could be the swerve.
Kiss of
like,
death
we're
for
all
Eli.
In on Eli Manning.
Yeah, we're all in. He's the greatest quarterback ever. We're all in on him, and then they're going to number one draft Dwayne Haskins, and he'll be in by week four.
Got to get those Dwayne Haskins Giants jerseys in.
Yeah, they're coming.
Get your photo edits, your Photoshop's ready.
Yeah, the Gettleman, I don't know that I know of one GM that has done more bad for a program than Gettleman has done for the Giants. This offseason has been very telling. I could see that his life at the Giants is going to be short-lived. There's no way they're going to put up with this shenanigans for much longer. I mean, to me, he's blowing up this franchise one piece at a time.
Well, if you were to say that the NFL teams tank, this would be it right here.
Yeah.
This would be what an NFL team tanking looks like.
So you're basically saying he's a genius. Okay. I see your take there.
I don't
agree with it.
Genius.
Here's another big name that gets cut. Vontaze Burfict. He's a big name because he's known for being kind of a bad guy, right? Getting himself into trouble, suspended a lot, all kinds of off the field, on the field, everywhere. On the field, off the field stuff going on everywhere. But Vontaze Burfict gets cut by the Cincinnati Bengals. So
do you think it was the Burfict scenario to cut him?
Did it? Man, I need sound effects up. Say that one more time.
Do you think it was the Burfict scenario? A little early.
Yeah, it was that funny.
I mean, with a laugh track like that, you can start a sitcom called Burfict Strangers.
Right. You could keep going, huh?
I think I'm good.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you're done because now we can move on.
Do you think if he went to baseball,
things.
He'd ever pitch a Burfict game?
Yeah, I do. I actually do think he could pitch a Burfict game.
Burfict
okay.
game.
Well, that's a good segue because I'm going to talk a little baseball with you. So the Major League Baseball wants to improve the life of the minor leaguers. They are looking at wanting to. Now, I don't know what the plan is. I didn't look at all the specifics, but they want to. They, you know, big smile on their face. They're like, you know what? We want to give better salaries to our minor leaguers. We want to improve living conditions. We want their transportation to be better. We want our minor leaguers to be living a better life. So Major League Baseball looks like they're trying to improve the minor leagues.
So now instead of staying in this motel, you get to stay at a Holiday Inn.
Yeah,
like
the doors,
no more Red Roof Inns for you.
Yeah, the doors aren't going to be on the outside. They're going to be on the inside.
Yeah.
You know? That makes it all the merrier, yeah. Right? And instead of a, I don't know, what are they taking now?
A school bus.
A school bus. Yeah, they actually get a Greyhound,
a Greyhound
or something. Yeah.
But not like a new Greyhound. It's like 1995. Like the bus that Michael Jordan rode on when he was in the minor leagues, it's going to be that bus.
But it's the same exact bus. Just, yeah, it's got about 500,000 more miles on it. And it still smells.
See, the AC.
It smells like Michael Jordan's cigars.
There you go.
He always liked smoking them cigars. He did. He was a cigar smoker. This is a good story. I kind of liked seeing. So Ichiro, the legend for the Seattle Mariners, he re-signed with the team. He's 45 years old, and he re-signed just so he could retire with the Seattle Mariners. So their opener is going to be in Japan, and that's where he started his career. He was a superstar over in Japan. So they're going to have him start opening day in Japan, and they said that after the series is over in Japan, he it's likely that he's going to retire. So this is kind of his big going away bang, and I think it's the right thing to do. I always like it when teams and when leagues do the right thing for these players. These guys that are legends in their sports. Ichiro was – he basically lived two careers. He had a – hugely successful career in Japan and then came over later in life and had a career that was extremely successful in Major League Baseball. You don't normally see that. Usually in baseball, these guys, they get, you know, recruited when they're 21, 22. Ichiro came over when he was much older, and so he could have had one of the greatest careers of all time in Major League Baseball if he would have started in America, but because he spent so much time in Japan, it's hard to compare numbers, but they're doing it right. Seattle is sending Ichiro off with a bang, and I love it.
Yeah, he's kind of the Warren Moon of baseball, right? How Warren
really?
Moon
that's
had
a good comparison. Yeah,
how
absolutely.
Warren Moon had the long CFL career and then came over, and I think he would have been viewed as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, if not the greatest quarterback of all time, had he gotten his start right away in the NFL. And like you said with Ichiro, man, if he would have just been able to get over here, just like any of the other 16, 17, 18-year-old kids that I mean, that's, you said 22. Let's be honest with you. They're starting that process at 16. Like right around 15, 16. That's when scouts start going to your high school games with the colleges. And if you're a surefire Hall of Famer, chances are you're getting noticed very early in life.
Lane Kiffin's going to elementary schools.
Yes, he is.
Other news,
daycares are getting ready.
Yeah, they are. Other news in baseball, Clayton Kershaw is not going to be the opening day pitcher for the Dodgers. This is the first time since 2011 that he will not be on the mound. He's been battling shoulder issues all spring training, and it just looks like he's not going to be ready, so the Dodgers aren't going to push him, and they've decided to go ahead and not have him out there on opening day. I feel like this is a little piece of Dodgers history, Dodgers lore that's going away. I guess Kershaw may be on the decline, the injuries and everything, notwithstanding. It looks like he's just not going to be the same guy, but sad not seeing him out there on opening day. I love to see the big names day one.
Yeah, we're getting a text in here, Loudbeard, a little texty text from Mark. He's wanting to know... he says all these stories are great, but he wants to know what's going on with Tyreek Hill. Not a good look for Tyreek Hill, especially with his past. He's got two incidents that he's being investigated with. I think we kind of avoided this story because it's just an investigation right now, and you and I, we're not hot takey type guys, right? We don't want to assume. We don't want to, you know, make asses out of ourselves by saying, oh, he needs to be thrown in prison forever, or by saying, you know, oh, I think he's innocent, and then it ends up, we kind of want to wait for this investigation to come out. What are your feelings on that?
Oh, I love hot Takis. They're that little snack. Frito-Lay makes them, I think. Oh, they're so delicious. So we are hot Taki guys.
I don't even know what those are. So he is involved in an investigation of battery and child abuse or neglect earlier this month at his Overland Park home.
No, to me, the big story here is, like, this guy had a history. He was kind of a bad guy, but because he played so good on the field, the Chiefs gave him this monster contract. And then they give him this contract, and not even, what, month or two later, all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's being investigated. Oh, he's even worse of a guy than we originally thought. So to me, this is kind of bad on the Chiefs. Like, they're the organization that cut ties with Kareem Hunt right away. But then another guy that has a questionable past, because it's not all on video and it's not all over the internet, they're like, oh, it's no big deal. We're going to pay this dude. We're going to pay him a ton of money. And now that investigation, it comes out again. But the story's not that big because, having video evidence. Like, the guy's being accused of some pretty gnarly acts. I mean, but if we had it on video, the whole world right now would force the Chiefs to get rid of this dude.
Yeah, so, and there's a lot of confusion with the police reports. And the problem with police reports involving children is it's easier to kind of figure out what happened, where with children, those records aren't exactly public. Like, you got to go through some loopholes, and there's a lot of things that are redacted from them. And both cases or both investigations, the police did not decide to prosecute. I'm seeing here where one, he's listed as the suspect, and the other, he's just listed as others involved, like sort of like a witness or just was there kind of deal. So a lot of just too much cloud around this for us to really say, like, oh, he should be kicked off the team or whatever. So I say leave it up to the NFL and leave it up to the police to figure out more and tell us what happened.
Yeah, and on that note, it is that time again, Chris America. It has been an absolutely beautiful show. Thank you to all those listeners out there. We appreciate you.
We killed it, man.
I'm sending you a picture of hot Takis right now. Just letting
hot
you
Takis?
Know.
Hot Takis? All right.
Yeah.
Just so are you they have. Good?
Actually, I've never had them, but you said I'm not a hot Taki guy, and I take any challenge seriously. Hey, what's up there, listeners? This is your friendly neighborhood Loudbeard, and I'm here to tell you that there's two type of people in the world, those that are on a podcast and those that want to be on a podcast. And if you are one of those out there that want to be on a podcast, one of the first decisions you will need to make is which podcast host you want to use. That's right. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, you need to check out Podbean. Here at Scout Team Radio, we have been using Podbean since the very beginning, and we absolutely love it. They are easy to use, and they have affordable options. Just go to podbean.com/STR. That's right, Scout Team Radio. podbean.com/STR to get started today. What are you waiting for?